Your Bible to John how many of you can recite the four gospel? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I want you to turn to John chapter 4 verse 4. How about that? John chapter 4 verse 4. And this is one of the greatest chapter in the New Testament. And you know that the Word of God, although you know it doesn't contain just for one lesson. It has so many. You cannot even fathom the deepness of the Word of God. And I was looking this morning. I said, I can't believe that this is the devotion. And then Sister Becky opened up with Psalms 44. He's talking about thirst for the water. But this morning, I just want to, I'm not going to, there are so many messages about the water in the well, right? And this morning, I'm just going to take it in another version. And we will start a message starting today, a message about 10 great things about Jesus. And the name of my message this morning is Jesus Simplifies the Spiritual Life. Jesus simplifies the spiritual life. And we sometimes confuse about our spiritual being, about what we we're gonna do about the spiritual warfare and the devil and all those things that we sometimes confuse about what we're gonna do with it, right? And do you know when they tell you to do? When he tell you to do, when you come to that point that you're out of sync. What are we gonna do about the spiritual life? But how many knows that our body is a spirit being and has a body, right? And that's why we're gonna look up the spiritual aspect of this scripture or verse that we have this morning. And when we don't know how we're gonna go to and understand the spiritual aspect, is that when we don't know how that to understand that, most of the people will tell you, you know what, just return to the basic, go to the basic, because Jesus Christ simplifies the spiritual aspect of our life. But sometimes we study in a seminary or we study in our own, that sometimes instead of simplifying the spiritual aspect, we make it complicated, right? We get more even confusing. Okay, so that's gonna be our mission this morning, that we're gonna go back to the basic, like one of the greatest basketball player in the NBA. We have Shaq O'Neal, right? And Shaq, he was a great athlete and he can score points and rebounds. But one of his recurrent problem. Does anybody of you, what is his recurrent problem? He could not make a free throw. When there's nobody guarding him, he is alone, but yet he cannot make a free throw. And so what they do, they hire a coach, a free throw coach, that will tell him what to do. And And if you notice it, they didn't tell Shaq O'Neal that, you know, Shaq, all you have to do is just wear that tennis shoes that's about 15 inches long and you'll be able to make it. No, they didn't tell him that. Or change your shoes, the color of your shoes. Or didn't tell him, you know, that tattoo that you have on your right shoulder or on your right hand, make another one in here. But remember, notice nobody tells him that. But instead, they tell him that you need to have your weight should be balanced, not forward or not backward, but it should balance in the middle. So that when you throw that ball, it will, and then it's just your hand or your palm should be moving, not your whole hand. See, they never tell him that. But they tell them, go back to the basic, that when you stand in the middle, balance. And I remember Brother Ken, when I'm starting to play golf, we used to go to that golf course in Rialto. I think there's not there anymore, huh? And we used to go there, and he said, you know what, Pastor Ed, first, before you even hit the ball, you have to, you know, you swing your hips so that you can be flexible. When I'm starting, you know, my hips is fixed. I mean, it's hard, but the more you practice it, because when you play golf, it has a lot of contribution in there. Not only just you hit the ball, but the way how you hit it and the way how you stand. So there is that basic thing that we go through. And the same thing in our spiritual life. That there's a basic, it's a basic thing that God showed to us. That when we follow that kind of an instruction, it will produce good things. Right? Amen? So, let's open our Bible. Are you there already? If you're in John chapter 4, verse 4, just say amen and look at me, and I'm sure they are all there. You're all in John chapter 4. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to read it in my version of my Bible, the NIV. But instead of verse 4, I'm just going to start in verse 1. Okay? And then we'll end on verse 26. So that we can see, we can hear the entire concept of what Jesus Christ is telling the Samaritan woman. Okay? John chapter 4, verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciple. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go from Samaria. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also
his son and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our father worshiped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritan worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We pray for this scripture, this verses that you have laid before us, Lord God, and we pray that you will illuminate to us, show us things that we may learn, that we may be able, Lord, to help us in our daily lives, and especially, Lord, in our spiritual life. And Father, we thank you, and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So, basic, essential for Jesus simplifying for us the spiritual life. And while we are doing it, we are going to remember how to spot a false Christianity. Because remember, there is false Christianity and there is also a true Christianity. Amen? There is some false Christianity that's going on. And there is a true Christianity. And I just want to do is to look up underneath the word and say, hey, what does that mean about God? What does God wants us to do? Amen? What does that mean about people? I don't want to think about the lady and Jesus and the well. But let's go over the story. Because sometimes we'll stuck in the well and about Jesus. But this morning, I just want to talk about our spiritual life. Okay? How are you going to apply this in our spiritual life? So that it will be a simplistic life that we live in. Okay? But first, I just want to give you the background of our story. And first, remember we have Jerusalem. I've been showing that to you. I've been telling you about Jerusalem. And first, the Israel is divided into three parts during Jesus Christ's time. And the bottom here is where the two tribes lives, right? Amen? There's two tribes that lives there, and then 10 tribes that lives in this upper part. It's before it was divided into two. The northern Israel and the southern Israel, right? Amen. So in the northern Israel, this is where the farmland of the state of Israel, there's a lot of farmers that lives there. Okay? And then the southern part, that's where the
the Sleekers. That's where the Beverly Hills lives there. There's the university there. There's a school of theologians that lives there. And the northern part of Israel, they got away from Jehovah. And the Lord sent the Assyrian to take care of them, because they get away from the Lord, from the Jehovah the Almighty, and they worship the polytheism, a God that has many God. So what the Lord have chasing them is that everybody, the young, you know, the Assyrian, they are the worst group of people. And so what they did, they invade the northern part of Israel, and every young boys, they took them out and bring them to Iran and to Iraq in the modern days. So can you remember what are those three guys? And Daniel, they were brought up in Iraq or in Iran. They grew up there. And what happened is that people from Iraq came down here in Samaria. So now these people here, the northern part, this part here, Samaria, is hybrid. It's a bread. It's a mixed bread. Wherein from people from Iran and Iraq came down here, the Assyrians, and the young people from the Jewish young kids will brought to Iraq and to Iran, and they will train. But at the same time, Samaria was, there is some Iranian and Iraqi people came down here, and that's why they are considered hybrid people. And that's why the people here from the south, they look down on them, or they fight with one another, because they are hybrid. They are not a true Jewish people. And that's why the Bible says that when they go to Galilee, that's where Jesus Christ was born. Okay, they have to go somewhere in here to pass by Samaria, because they believe that the dust, when they go pass by there, the dust will contaminate them. Okay, so that's why this area here, when they go to Galilee, they have to go pass by here to avoid the Samarian dust, because it will contaminate them. But our story today is that Jesus Christ, he went to Sychar, right there. And that's where the well, that's where he's drinking, he's asking. That's where he met the lady, the woman. Okay, so now you're with me. That's the reason why that's where the story that we have about the Samaritan woman. When you see that, the Samaritan woman, he's talking about this area here, that Sychar, that's where the well, that's where Jesus Christ met the lady. Okay? Are you with me? Okay, that's good. So that's they have their own worship place here, and then there is the main worship here of the Jewish people here in Jerusalem. Okay, are you with me? So now we go to the story about the lady, the woman on the well, right? That's Jesus Christ. We're going through the Samaria. That was slightly unusual. It's unusual for a Jew to go through the Samaria. And that is why she said to him, "How can you ask me for a drink? You're not supposed to have anything to do with me." That's what the lady said. There's another interesting thing about the story. The Bible says it was the sixth hour of the day. And most commentators agree that is 12 noon. And that's where the hottest day of the day. They would go in there. Usually they go late afternoon or early evening when it is cooler. So what is the strange thing is that Jesus would be tired. Imagine the Son of God, God in the flesh, actually know how to get tired and thirsty, because he left heaven and emptied himself to die for us and become the Savior. So it's not unusual that he would be tired at 12 noon. What is unusual is that why that lady be there at 12 noon? Because most of the lady goes in the afternoon, but she goes there at 12 noon. But some of the commentators say that, do you know why she was there at 12 noon? Because she knows that everybody else goes there late in the afternoon. But she was afraid that she would get more kind of stares or look at her, because she has 5 husbands and the man that she was living there was not her husband. And everybody knows that either she got around, or shall we say, she sleep around with another man. So this woman is a loser of society. And she does not know that some Jewish man will be there at 12 noon, about 30 years old. And Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink?" But instead of giving him water, she says to him, "Why are you talking to me?" And now, here we get Jesus simplifying the spiritual life for us. He does not want to talk about water, about physical water. He wants to talk about spiritual water. The Holy Spirit, the salvation, the blessing of God. And the first thing that he says to her is really amazing. If you think of it, he says to her, "If you knew the gift of God." That's the first thing that he responds to the lady. He think about this lady, 5 husbands, sleeping with somebody who is not her husband. And the first thing Jesus said of a spiritual nature to her is, "If you knew the gift of God. If you only knew what God can give. If you only knew that God wants to give. If you only knew who you are talking to. If you only knew how much I love you and how can I help you. If you only understand what really happened right here at the well, you would have asked the one who talks to you for a living water, and he would have given it to you." So now the first lesson of spiritual life that I want you to notice today to keep life simple is this. He doesn't say to the lady, "You know what, now look, I want to tell you the five spiritual laws of salvation. And you better start to obey. You are a major, major messed up. I happen to know about that." But Jesus did not condemn her. Right? He says to her, "If you only knew, God wants to give you a gift. If you only knew what you can have for the asking. If you would be asking, if you knew who you are talking to, I would give you a living water, not this water in the well." So the first lesson, brothers and sisters, that we can learn this morning, that You cannot move anywhere unless you get something from heaven to get you moving. Without the Holy Spirit, it all starts from Him. It all starts from heaven. You cannot move, you cannot do anything without Him coming into you. And sometimes we think that we can do it in our own strength. We can do it for so many things until we realize that, you know what? I cannot do it. Because, you know what? We need an outside help. It's just like when a person is drowning. How can be saved? Unless somebody, he cannot save himself. He's drowning. The same thing in all of us. We cannot save ourselves. Because we are all messed up. And everything starts from heaven. Brother and sister, if you want to simplify our spiritual life, we have to realize that I cannot do it in my own strength. It all starts from Him. Amen? Amen. If you only knew the gift of God, God is a giving God. Amen? But Pastor Ed, I'm a mess. She was a mess. That lady is a mess. But God still wants to give you something. See, I bet you. See, it happens so many times that, you know, I want to share the gospel to other people for salvation. But yet, you know what? Without that person, without God giving us that power, that desire, it has to start from Him. Amen? It has to start from Him. And the first rule of spiritual life, and the enemy fight you on this. He is always whispering on you, and he will imitate the Holy Spirit. Listen, he has done this 1,000 times. He will whisper to you and say, you know what? Just try harder. And read the Bible tomorrow. You can do it. Just go to the confession room and say, you're sorry, and try harder to do that, not to do that tomorrow. And the devil can get you down that road and looking for Jesus, but just looking inward, you are your history. Because the enemy will always try to trick you. You know what? That's okay. Just try harder next time. But the heart of Christianity is that God wants to give you something that I need, and it's free gift. But to start my life, to get saved, to grow in God, I constantly have to receive from Him. Amen? We constantly have to receive from Him. Because we need that infilling. We need that strength. We need that power. We need that wisdom. Last 3 weeks ago, I mentioned to you about the story of Brother Young that I've been looking for that pink card of the car. And I've been trying my best, looking for everywhere. I am almost turning over the house, and I could not find it until I give up and said, you know what, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. See, Christianity is not trying harder. It's receiving Jesus Christ and the living water that He has for you. God is a giving God. Amen? We have to receive. The heart of the gospel is, if you only knew the gift of God. Do we know that God has a gift for all of us? I'm not talking about Christmas gift. It's a gift that you can receive today. Amen? If you only knew what God wants you to do, if you would only open up and come humbly and say, God, I'm a mess. God will make you into a new creation. That is why the Bible always talk about God giving. The Bible says that if you being evil know how to give good gift to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask. See? Father give you the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit in our life, we cannot do anything. The Bible does not stop there. It says in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, this is the role of Christian living. As long as you live on this earth, you have to remember this. He who did not spare his son, his own son, but gave himself for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all the things? See? God is a giver. Since God did not spare Evan, his own son, but give himself up for all of us, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? What do you need today? Do you need wisdom? Do you need self-control? Are you out of whack in your eating or in some appetite? Are you struggling with worries? Is anybody here struggling for worries? We cannot sleep. Do you need peace? Here's what Paul is saying to us. If God give us his son and you receive his son, how much will he give us everything else we need every day of your life? See? Do you think God will not give everything that we need if he give his only son for us? So whatever you need today, God has it for you. But you got to understand this. It's a gift. You got to understand God has to give it to me or I'm going nowhere. See, a man can receive nothing unless he has given to him from heaven. So that's the first rule. When the devil gets on you and say, God is mad at you, you say, no, God wants to help me. Oh, how many are happy that God is a giving God? Amen? God is a giving God. Are you not glad that our God is a giving God? He said that only if you know that God has a gift for you. I want you to stir up that again, that verse in John chapter 4, verse 4. If he only knew. She's telling that to the lady. If he only knew the gift of God and who it is who talks to you, who would have asked him? Do you know how you get this gift? This is why Satan hates prayer. You don't get the gift by going to church. Where does that concept begin? People who don't pray, don't read the Bible, but say, I go to church on Sunday. Oh, you know, Pastor Ed, Sunday morning is my obligation. It's not right not to go to church. That's true. But the Bible does not say, let us therefore come boldly to the church. The Bible does not say, let us therefore come boldly to the sermon of Pastor Ed. The Bible says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? So that we may receive the gift of God. What do you need today? Have you messed up this week? Receive mercy. Amen. The best Christian is the one who received the most, and he does it by asking. Amen. That's the best Christian here this morning. He's the one who asked and received the most, he does by asking. The Lord, the Bible says, the Lord is near to everyone who call upon him. Amen? Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, call upon me and I will answer you. When will I answer you? When you call, when you ask. Why do you think the devil set out prayer in most churches across the country and some other countries? There is cancer, right? There is Bible study, but no night devotion to prayer. And that reminds me about not last week, but the other Wednesday. We are praying and somebody called. Somebody called in the church telephone. And when I pick up the receiver, the first question is, why is the door locked? Scared me off, and probably everybody. Why is the door locked? I said, because we are praying. Oh. And then Brother Vic look up the outside, and there he is. He's parking there in between our two cars. And then pretty soon he moved his car and parked on the other side. So man, he said, well, maybe after our prayer, we're called the police. But then before we even, we went out there and we're gonna call the police. But he left. He left going that way. So last week, we are scared. We didn't come back here for prayer. We have it prayer in our house. And last night, there's a message. The same guy, because the accent, it looks like he's from Middle East. The same guy that called, and he said, you know what? I was there Wednesday, and I just want to talk to the pastor. His name is Manny. And I tried to call his number because he left his number. And it just rang, and then it's gone. See? But he just want to talk to the pastor. And because we are scared, we missed the opportunity. See? And prayer. You don't have to come here. You can stay in your closet in your home and pray. Because the greatest person in this room is the one that prays. Amen. Prayer is, you know, if prayer, it's a contact to God. And that when you pray, you're making contact with God. I'm not talking about the Hail Mary or Our Father. I'm talking about you conversing with the Lord. Amen? So, I can only be an arrow to get you to the throne of grace, so that you could say, send him down, Lord. Because there's a gift for all of us. Do you know that? And this lady, the lady is not even, didn't talk saying about this lady is a Christian. This lady is saved. So Jesus Christ is saying, if you only knew the gift. The gift is also available to everyone. Not only to believer, but it's also available to everybody. It's available to her, right? So the simplest spiritual life that we have is that when we receive the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen? Because we cannot do anything without Him. It all starts from Him. It all starts from heaven. In James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. See, can you comprehend? Can you understand that all of us need wisdom? Right? All of us. Because if we are depending in our own intellect, chances are it's going to be disastrous. Amen? It's impossible. And that's why James said that if you lack wisdom, that's the lesson number two. Lesson number two that we can learn is that learn how to ask in faith. God means what He says. God is serious of what He's saying. Amen? In James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Why? Because who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will he be given to him. See, James is saying, you know what? God doesn't ask you, well, you have five husbands? No, you cannot get this. Well, you messed up your life? I cannot give that to you. Right? So, James is saying, you know what? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who give generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to him. And then in verse 6, it says, but when he asked, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. But we just take out wisdom. Listen, why don't you make the model for the rest of your life? You want to simplify your life? Take out wisdom and just leave it blank. Listen to it. If any of you lacks what? Is anybody lacks patience? He should ask God, who give generously. Right? If any of you lack, what else? What else you guys need? What you lack of? Everything. That's a blanket. Just name it. Put whatever you want in there. He should ask God, who give what? Generously. The same God who gives you wisdom, give you patience. The same God who gives you wisdom, gives you love. Have you ever met someone who cannot love? Have you ever met somebody so irritating that bothers you just to hear his voice? This reminds me of when we are new in the Inland Christian Center. There's that one elder that, man, every time he prays up front, it's irritating. It looks like you're gonna go out. I feel like gonna go out. And then the Lord said, just whispered to me, said, you know what? Pray for that person. Pray for that brother. So we've been going there and been praying. And one Sunday, Sister Mai, this guy and his wife is waiting for us. And I said, Brother Ed, I want you and Sister Rose and Irvin to have breakfast with us in our home, in our lunch. You remember them? Thurston, Steve and Judy Thurston. So if you have somebody that's so irritating, just pray for him or for her. Amen? If you have somebody, a brother or a sister, or your mother-in-law or your sister-in-law, that's so irritating, just pray for her. Amen? Amen. If anybody lacks love, let him ask from God. If you cannot love your wife, oh, you better get onto your knees and pray. Amen? If you need to get a raise from your job, ask God. Let Him ask. Because promotion comes from? Where does promotion comes from? From God. From the Lord. Amen? You need promotion? Don't let Pastor Ed pray for you. You pray yourself. Amen? But not pray for the luto. Okay? Just let it come down, Lord. Phil, you give that gift. If she only knew the gift of God. Amen? How many of you have ever done that? Pray. Amen? Pray. Jesus Christ said, you know what? It doesn't whether you're a believer or not. Only if she only knew the gift of God. Amen? Everybody believes the Bible. Who asked, received, he will give that water that would really satisfy your soul. I was watching the news the other night, or last night, that Redlands have got penalty for using a lot of water. Did you see that, sister? Redlands. Maybe there's people there in Redlands drink a lot of water. Amen? But how about the spiritual water that God is available for all of us? He will not give us a penalty. Amen? Think about that. There's a gift. There's a gift that God has available for all of us. But it will not be yours until you ask for it. Amen? If she only knew the gift of God that will satisfy her soul, a water that she will never thirst again. Amen. How many of us this morning would like to have that gift? It's not the H2O. It's the water that will never thirst again. Let's stand and I really want you to desire. See the opening prayer that we have this morning. As the deer panted for the water, and so I am. Do you pant it for the water? Do you long for the water that you will never thirst again? Sister Mai, do you like to have a water that you'll never thirst again? You never fill up your... I saw Irvin and Mia, they have this container of water. Can you imagine if you have a water that you never fill up? You just keep on gushing in there instead of you drinking, it is coming out from you. Wow. That's powerful. How many of us would like to have that water that you'll never thirst again? Would you stand? You stand with me and say, you know what, Pastor Ed, I like to have the never filling up of water anymore. Because once it's in, it will gas out. And sometimes the reason why we are so sluggish in our in our physical body because of water, right? You know, if you don't drink water, Sister Mai, do you know that you will die? In 3 days, 4 days, right, Glona? You will die. How much more the spiritual water, Lord, is? How much more the spirit water that God, only God can give? I bet you, we're going to die. If the water, the H2O, if we don't drink that, 3, 4 days, 5 days. I think the most, Sister Mai, 5 days that you don't drink water, you're going to die. But God says, Jesus Christ said, if he see or he will only knew the gift of God, which is all available for all of us. Amen. Everything has come from God, and I have to ask for it, and he has living water available that would satisfy the deepest in my life. Amen. Can we ask the worship team to come up? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ that simplifies our spiritual life. That all we need, Lord, it all starts from you, Lord God. That all we need is the water that will quench our thirst, Lord God. And Father, this morning, Lord, be my prayer, Lord, that each person that stand before you this morning will pant it for that water, as David said in Psalms 44, that I will never thirst again, Lord God. And Father, we pray this morning, fill us, Lord, with that water. Fill us, Lord, that we may be able, Lord, to overflow that water in our friends, in our sphere of influence, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Sealed it in our heart this morning, Lord. Those two lessons that we can learn from Jesus Christ, simplifying our spiritual life. The first, Lord, is to ask and to realize, Lord, that we cannot do in our own strength, Lord God. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. And the second, Lord, is to ask in faith, Lord Jesus, and to receive, Lord God, because we have a God that is giving, Lord. And unless we receive from you, Lord God, we are going nowhere, Lord Jesus, in our life. And as Sister Becky started this morning, what did we do for the past 10 years, 10 months, Lord? Because we are not going anywhere, Father God, without your Holy Spirit directing, orchestrating our life and the life of your church, Lord. And Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. And thank you for the time that we can fellowship, Lord, and bring our tithes and offering to your storehouse, Lord. Thank you for the blessing, the provision, Lord, that you have given to us, Father God. And Lord, we praise you. We give you glory and honor through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said,